me anyway, a 9-year-old boy, Ben Pierce, born prematurely, only weighed 1 pound and 6 ounces at birth. And unfortunately, his vision continues to deteriorate, and the doctors have told him by the time he becomes an adult, he's going to be completely blind. So what they've been doing is raising donations so that he can complete his bucket list of things that he'd like to see before he can no longer see. And he's gone to NASA, he's gone to the locker rooms, some professional baseball clubs, and we thought we'd ask you, first off, do you take the things that you have for granted, and what would be on your list of things that you would like to see or that you'd regret never being able to see, I guess before you close your eyes one way or the other, that you would either lose your sight or not be able to go because of infirmity, or maybe you move on. Carolyn Miller joins us right now. Carolyn Miller, a certified career coach, author of Creating Your Best Life, and an expert on goal accomplishment. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. And what a great topic and a great story.
It is a great story. Yeah. Do you think sometimes people, and as part of your career coaching, that we tend to, you know, I guess the old saying is that you're so concentrated on the destination that you don't even pay attention to the journey?
Yeah, and let me just say, I'm not a career coach. I'm a professional performance coach, and my specialty, and I'm pretty well known for this, is the intersection between goal accomplishment and happiness. And so this is really right in my wheelhouse, this whole topic. And yes, I mean, what you're asking, do people take for granted what they have or just basically miss out on opportunities to appreciate life? And the answer is yes. And happy people have what's called a savoring personality. They take snapshots in their brains as things are occurring around them because they want to remember them. And if you watch the Olympics, you can see this in real time. When you see people on the medal stand, they stop singing their national anthem and they're just looking around, and you can just see they're memorizing life as it's going on around them. Well, happy people either learn to do this or they do it very naturally. And so this young boy and the people who are helping him see the things that he wants to see are giving him what's known in the world of positive psychology as experiences. And these experiences are what we replay in our minds with or without sight, because a lot of people close their eyes and just call up a memory of something they're proud of, or a moment when they were, you know, loved somebody else for what they were doing. And experiences make us happier than possessions. So to be able to help somebody have experiences where they can take mental snapshots that they can play for the rest of their lives, as long as you have, none of us really know how long we have, that's probably the most precious gift you could give anybody.
Yeah, I was talking about my daughter's junior prom before, and just something I did. It was probably silly. But anyway, you know, I tell her whenever there's a big event like this, make memories, and certainly you don't get in trouble or do anything bad. But you understand what I'm saying? So few of these opportunities come along in life. You really do have to make the most of them. And I would think some people, even when they're on vacation, they're so busy messing around with the luggage or getting angry over this, they don't take full advantage of what it is that they have all around them.
Most people don't. Most people are looking around in life for hassles, and they're kind of screening the world for what they don't have. Optimists and happy people tend to have higher gratitude scores, so they're grateful for what they have, and they know when to let the little things go. And again, you can learn this. I have a whole lot in my book, Creating Your Best Life, about not just how to set and achieve goals, but also how to learn to flourish emotionally. And this is what a piece of people can learn to do better. The gratitude exercise, 3 things I'm grateful for today and why they happened to me. That's a simple one. But there is some interesting work on people in hospice who are dying. And the number one regret that you find in people who are at the end of their lives looking back, because they know the time is basically over, is that they lived somebody else's life, that they didn't live the life they wanted to live. It's a very poignant, you know, way to kind of look at your life right now. Am I living my life? Am I living the life my parents wanted me to live, or my spouse, or my children, or my community, or my religion, or whatever? And so I work with a lot of people all over the world on goal accomplishment, and this is the main thing you need to ask people is, you know, are you living the life you want to live? If not, what will you regret not pursuing?
But let me pick it up here when we come back, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. We got to check traffic, because how do you draw the line? Because, and you know, I shouldn't say it's easy to say, but when you're lying there and it's all over and you say, well, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I'd done, I could have done that, and this comes to the balance that you teach, well, at the time, you might not have had the choice because you feel like, well, you know, I got to pay the bills and I got to get Janie and Johnny through school and I got to have something to drive to work. So we'll talk about all that when we come back, okay? Good. Carolyn Miller, our guest, she's a professional performance coach and author of Creating Your Best Life and an expert on goal accomplishment. And what are some of the things that you would like to see or do before it's too late, and how would you go about it? Tommy Tucker back in a flash, 8:23, time to look at traffic now. And for that, we go to Terrell Robinson. Tommy Tucker talking about a kind of inspiring story, 9-year-old that knows he's going blind, so they've put together a fundraising effort, and he's trying to see all of the things that he wants to see before he can is no longer able to do that. And we're asking you at 260-1870, toll-free 866-889-0870 to call in or text in. What are the things you would love to see or regret if you didn't get to see them? And on my list, I would like to see the great works of art in France. I would like to go to the Vatican and the Northern Lights. I've always wanted to see those up close and personal. Well, as close as you can get. Carolyn Miller, a professional performance coach, joins us. She's the author of Creating Your Best Life, an expert on goal accomplishment. Carolyn, before we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, people in hospice care saying they regretted this and regretted that. But it's easy, I think, to do that in hindsight when you sometimes forget that you got to live and you got to pay the bills, go to work, et cetera.
Well, I think what you're talking about is just your professional career. And I think there are times when...
But I mean more performing, providing for your family, where you wish... You see what I mean? Sometimes when you have kids, a lot of your options go out of the window.
Well, they do, but there's always... It's interesting that the number one way to avoid stress and deal with either depression or procrastination is to begin to make a plan. And I think a lot of people could benefit from let's just take a profession. If there's a profession you want to try out or transition to, just basically sit down. What do I need to do to get there? You know, begin to map out, is it feasible? Is it reasonable? Who can I, you know, talk to? Who will give me that information? But when you talk about I live the life other people expected of me, that also pertains to the people you choose to have in your life. Sometimes it's the people you're married to or just friendships, because social contagion theory does predict that you become who you spend time with. And so you also want to take a look at, well, who am I spending time with? If this is the life that I'm going to choose for myself, do I have the hobbies I want? What if I want to try to be an athlete, try to become a triathlete? I row competitively, and I row with a huge number of women who are introduced to rowing the moment they are given a breast cancer diagnosis, because they feel empowered by becoming athletes. And for the most part, it's a generation that did not benefit from Title IX. So two things happen. They become empowered. They begin to feel like an athlete. And then they're also literally, in the face of a difficult diagnosis, they're strengthening their chest walls. And so I think I'm talking about a lot of things here. Where would you go? Do you want to go to beach every summer? Or do you want to plan to go see the great works of art in Europe? There's so many different ways that people can flourish emotionally better in the lives where they're living. And those changes can be subtle, they can be medium, they can be large, but everyone's different. And so I really challenge people to say, if you were to, let's say, wake up tomorrow and live the life of your dreams, what would you be doing differently?
But see, that goes to, did you have a couple of more minutes, Carolyn?
Yeah, I do.
Good, because this to me is, how do you balance that? Because the age-old question is, if you were to know that you only had 4 months left, what would you do? But I think that would be a different thought process than, you got to plan on long term, so you got to pay the mortgage, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm trying to make this easier for people to understand, because I think a lot of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, passively live their lives and accept whatever it is they're going through, and they're not happy, but they just don't do anything about it.
Most people are reactive. Only about 20% of people have been shown to be proactive, which is equal to flourishing. But there are many, many things you can do. There's an exercise on my website.
All right, well, we got to stop for news. Can we pick it up when we come back?
Yes, we can.
All right, phone lines are open at 260-1870, toll-free 866-889-0870. I think it's fascinating, because a lot of people think happiness is elusive, and they think they'll never do this and never do that, and maybe you can. We'll find out from Carolyn Miller when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News, and for that, we go to David Blake. Carolyn Miller, our guest, David, professional performance coach, and we're talking about that inspirational story, 9-year-old, that told he was going to be blind by the time he was an adult, so he's seeing some things and checking them off of his bucket list before he cannot any longer see at all. And David, before we get back to Carolyn, if there were some things on your list that you wanted to see, you got any?
Says
Great Wall of China.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing Great Wall of China. I want to go to Europe and just kind of go crazy, you know, just do everything. I want to do Bavaria, and I want to do Scotland and Scandinavia, and yeah.
Why does everything with you involve going crazy?
Well,
there's
always
a wild element to everything you do.
Instead of doing three countries, I'd probably like to do 10.
I want to party with you, cowboy. I get a text here about not necessarily places, but be at iconic events, which I guess are at places. They want to see the ball drop in New York City. They want to be there in New Year's Eve, of course. They want to be there in Indianapolis when the guy says, "Gentlemen, start your engines." The Indy 500 coming up, of course.
I want to go to Wimbledon.
There you go. Those kind of things.
That type of thing.
And so Carolyn Miller is going to tell us maybe how you can accomplish those things or are you setting goals and achieving them? Carolyn Miller, by the way, a professional performance coach, and she's author of Creating Your Best Life. And how do you go about getting that, Carolyn, the book? Is it on Amazon.com and all these places?
Oh, yeah. It's a very popular book. It's, believe it or not, it's even used in some university settings as a textbook because when it came out in early 2009, it was the first goal accomplishment book that actually had research and evidence in it because until then, people were relying on the secret, thinking if you just want it badly enough, it'll happen, which just isn't true, unfortunately.
So what is true?
What?
What is true when it comes to achieving your goals? And it's not just enough to want it. You have to actively do something, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, this goes to the heart of how hard are people willing to work? How uncomfortable are you willing to be? Because at the end of the day, whether people know it or not, they do scan their days for things they're proud of. And the things that you're proud of are the things you did that were outside of your comfort zone. And so when it comes to goal setting, the goals that tend to get the biggest results are the ones that are called challenging and specific. So you may be uncomfortable in pursuit of those goals, and you can be uncomfortable in so many different ways. You can be uncomfortable interpersonally. You can be uncomfortable physically. Problem is, most people, including the new millennials, this generation coming into the workforce, they're considered the least gritty generation of all time. They don't have a lot of resilience. They grew up thinking everyone was a winner because they were told everyone was a winner. So it's just not accurate to say that everybody who wants what they want gets what they get. So you have to be willing to work hard, and grit is a measure of whether or not you're willing to hang in there over a long period of time. So that's just one aspect of goal setting. The problem is most people don't have goals. So the vast majority of people, as we were saying before the break, they're reactive. They wake up every day and they basically do what's in front of them, what was left undone from the previous day. But when you look at the most successful people, the happiest people, they wake up every day to clear-cut short-term and long-term goals. But how many of us actually have those goals? Not many. So you start by just coming up with what is it I do want to do? What's the legacy I want to leave behind? Do I want to become philanthropic? Do I want to become active in my community? Do I want to try to lose 30 pounds? Do I want to become an athlete? Do I want to travel? It's about choices, and people need to choose the behavior that fits the legacy they want to leave behind, both personally and professionally.
Is one fighting human nature or the other going along with human nature in terms of being active or reactive or proactive, accepting the circumstances, staying in your comfort zone? Does one lend itself to the basic nature that we all have as humans?
Well, I think sometimes people tend to be lazy, and not everyone, of course, but there are people who just, as I said, don't want to be uncomfortable, and they don't want to disappoint themselves, so they set what's called in goal-setting theory low goals or no goals, because frankly, it's like, you know, if I didn't even try, then I didn't lose. So that's where most people sit. Now, there is an issue around willpower and self-regulation, and we used to possess more of it, and as technology and life has given us more of what we want, you know, lunchtime facelifts and Botox and, text messaging. So you don't even have to talk to anyone. You just get these instant text messages. What they found is that people have a terrible time these days saying no to themselves. And so if you can't delay gratification, you really can't pursue any, you know, difficult goals in particular. So you can learn to have more willpower. I do address that in Creating Your Best Life. They're very validated, evidence-based ways to do it. But the problem is people like to give in to temptation. They want what they want when they want it, and they don't want to say no to themselves. And I talk in Creating Your Best Life, I open Chapter 6 with that really famous marshmallow experiment from 1964, where they asked kids to wait 15 minutes. You know, they put one marshmallow in front of them. They said, if you can wait 15 minutes, you can get two marshmallows. And the problem is about 60% of the kids could wait. The other 40% could not. 15 years later, those were the kids who had lower SAT scores. They had more addiction problems. They had, you know, worse friendships, worse relationships with elders.
The ones who could not wait.
Who could not wait. The people who cannot say no to themselves, starting early as four, were found to have worse outcomes in just about every aspect of life 15 years later, and then even 15 years beyond that, more divorces, less job stability, and so on and so forth. So the sooner you can teach your children to wait for what they want instead of just giving them what they want, you don't just give kids an iPhone or smartphone or a toy or whatever. You do have to help people learn willpower, and that's just not happening in this country, unfortunately. But, you know, you also have to role model it for your kids. So I see a lot of parents who can't say no to themselves either. I mean, quitters. We got a lot of quitters in this country, and that's a huge problem.
Carolyn Miller, let me tell you what my goal is. And I'm being serious when I say this. My goal is to have you on every so often because I guarantee what you just said made so much common sense to 99% of the audience.
Well, sure. Have me back every 2 months. Wait, every 2 months, I'll come on and I'll give you another piece of information, because it is incredibly important to know the fundamentals of goal accomplishment, which ought to be taught in every single elementary school in the country, if not the world. Because if you can't set and accomplish goals, you are never, ever going to find out what you're capable of. And there is a science to it. And that's why I despise The Secret, because it's not wizardry and it's not hocus pocus. There is some real evidence to whether or not you can actually do things you want to do. And there are ways to do it, and there are many ways to improve your odds of success. And so my calling, the thing that I love more than anything, is teaching people these tools. So I'd be happy to come on and every couple months give you another tool to think about.
I'd love for that to happen. Thank you so much. Yeah. Carolyn Miller, professional performance coach. And you can pick up the book, Creating Your Best Life, an expert on goal accomplishment, at any book outlet.